Hello, this is Todd Starnes. I have the privilege of being the lead pastor at Odessa First Assembly, and this is our podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoy this message, and I pray the Holy Spirit ministers to you. Remember, Scripture tells us in Philippians 2:13, "For it is He that works in us to will and to act according to His good purpose." And I pray that that work begins in you today.
Galatians chapter 5, we're going to start there, and I want us to read that together. Of course, we've been in the series, The Fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 through 23, it says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law." You know, that first week, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about several things. One of them was being marked by love, talking about what that agape love means. As we see here, the first fruit of the Spirit is love. And that agape love means I'm going to love you whether you're lovable or not. And aren't you grateful that God shows us that agape love? That even when we don't feel like we're lovable, even though when we don't do the things to be loved, God still loves us. And as proof in His Word, He says, "For God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son." That's that agape love, that He will, that to deliberately choose to love, that I'm going to love you no matter what I get in return. And we can have that love towards one another, but also to be marked by love. And we read through 1 Corinthians 13 and talked about those that definition of love, of being patient, kind, and all of those things. But it ended this way in that passage in 1 Corinthians 13. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Hope will get you through. And I've been kind of taking this and partnering with really John chapter 15, because John chapter 15, I believe, is really crucial to this. And a verse that we've been sharing is John chapter 15 and verse 4, and it says this, "Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." And what we're going to see is, I'm going to kind of even refer to in a few moments of just those, the importance of those abiding scriptures in John chapter 15. But I want to kind of move into what we're going to look at this morning, and that is about peace. Last week we talked about joy, and I'm going to bring some of that joy, what we talked about, into this week, because they partnered together, joy and peace. And so as I was looking at this, I was reminded in John chapter 16 and verse 33, and it says this, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." That is a promise of Jesus to His people, that we can have a peace no matter the trial, no matter the tribulation, no matter the persecution. We can be a people and not just be of peace, but have peace, have complete peace. And it reminded me last week, you know, Jesus said that He wants to put His joy into us, that our joy may be full. And here we see that promise again, that He wants to give us a peace. And I'm going to tell you, just like joy, when Jesus gives you peace, it's not like any other peace that you've ever experienced. And when we look at this, John chapter 15 and verse 11, "These things I've spoken to you," He said that your joy may be full. But when we're talking about this peace in John chapter 16 verse 33 and Galatians chapter 5, listen, the fruit of the Spirit, it has a much richer connotation than really the English word that we see with peace. What God wants us to get into our hearts, when you do the word studies and all that kind of stuff that you do sometimes with Scripture, when you're looking at that word peace, it has a very specific meaning. And it doesn't mean that we're going to have an absence of conflict or turmoil or circumstance or those things. But what it means is you're going to have peace in the middle of all those things. And we see that pattern through Scripture. Peace is the presence of God. Peace is the presence of God. And when you understand that peace is the presence of God, you can have peace no matter what the circumstance is. Listen to me. Our peace is not the absence of difficulties. I know that we would really appreciate and like just far less difficulties. But that is not the hour that we live in. Matter of fact, I think we're going to see greater tribulations and greater difficulties. But peace is in the middle of no matter what situation that we're in. And our peace is not the absence of difficulties. It's peace is the presence of God. Everything that matters can be found in the presence of God. I'm going to say that again. Everything that you need can be found in the presence of God. When we're going through John chapter 15, so it says, every branch in me, abide in me. A second time, abide in me. A third time, he says in that passage, abide in me. A fourth time, if you abide in me. A fifth time, abide in my love. And so the key to the fruit of the Spirit, whether it be love, joy, peace, patience, no matter what it is, it's only going to be found when you are in him, in his presence. I have a huge concern for those in our church and for the church that during this season, what really did you do with it? I understand that the difficulty may, for some, has been far greater than others. Maybe this hasn't come near you all that much, except just the annoyance of having to stay at home and not getting to go out to eat and things of that nature. But there's been some that it's really impacted in a great degree. But during this season, during these times, I really believe what the Lord put in my spirit was, this was the season to draw close to him, to draw close to him and his presence. Here's the deal. You can't cherry pick the fruit, right? You can't come up with the fruit and say, I want love and I want joy and I want kindness, and I'm not so much for the other ones, because that's not how this works, because it's the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Those aren't the fruit. That's the characteristic of the fruit. We're talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and when you're abiding in him, and you're in Jesus, and you're in that place with him, you're in that vine, you're going to see the characteristics of that fruit come to bear in your life. And so three things that attack our peace. That's what we're focused on this morning. And I'm going to talk about the three things that attack our peace. Pressures, right? Those responsibilities, circumstances, stresses, the need-tos, the to-dos, the honey-dos, that whole list, that thing that just comes in. So there's these pressures of life. And though if we allow it, those pressures, it'll rob our peace. There's also problems, right? And during this season, maybe you've seen those problems come to bear, like really exposed, but maybe in your marriage, in your family, in your job, those struggles, the confusion, battles, addictions. And so problems, if we allow circumstances of life and problems, it can rob our peace. And I'm going to tell you something else that robs our peace. And, if you're sitting on the couch next to somebody, you may not want to elbow them right here, but there's another thing that robs our peace, and that is people. We have to deal and contend with people, yet Scripture is full of how we're to treat one another. But the fact of the matter is, I saw somebody's post, I remember who it was, and I saw a couple people share it, that, they've been in shelter in place so long that they would even like to see the people they don't like, and we've all got to deal with people in life, and if we allow it, people can rob our peace. But listen to me, when I worry, I will not have peace. I know it's just an explosion of thought there, right? When I have worry, I will not have peace, but when I have peace, I will not worry. Peace is the confidence. God can relieve the pressure, solve the problems, and handle the people in my life. And I don't know about you, but that's the peace that I want to reside in, that I want to live in. And so how do we get there? How do we have that peace? Number one is this: rejoice. And so we're going to look at is four verses in Philippians chapter 4. And so Philippians 4:4 says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." So the first step in getting to that place of peace is rejoicing. You know, and that kind of partners once again with what we talked about last week with joy. We talked about in James 1:2, count it all joy when we're facing pressures, problems, and people. When we're facing those trials of various kinds, many kinds, rejoice, rejoice. Paul is not talking here about some kind of general happy, you know, optimism that I'm going to choose to be happy. There is no reason for rejoicing without the Lord. Joy and rejoicing has to be focused in the Lord. I mean, really think about it. Paul's writing this, but really, you got to remember, he's under arrest. He's chained to a guard. Every morning that he wakes up, it could be the day that he goes to a death sentence. I mean, this is the circumstances that Paul is living in when he's writing these words. And yet he says, rejoice always. I say again, rejoice. Our peace is not the absence of difficulties. Peace is in the presence of God. And everything we need is found in him. Whatever you are closest to looks the biggest. Whatever you're closest to looks the biggest. And so either you are focusing in on your circumstance or you're focusing in on God. You know, my in-laws, my, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to marry Angela, I'm kidding, but, you know, well, one is she has this DNA in her family of tall people. Her dad is 6'5", 6'6", and her brother is 6'6", 6'7", and so they're quite a bit taller than me. But, you know, I can see one of them across the room, and, you know, they don't really seem that tall, but then I go to hug one of them, and, you know, it's always awkward me hugging my brother-in-law because I'm at his waist. You know, I mean, when you're close to somebody like that and you're looking up, they look a lot bigger. Whatever you're closest to always looks bigger. So my question is, are you closer to the problem or are you closer to God? See, when you take the magnifying glass, or are you looking through the telescope? I want to talk to you about that just for a moment. In Psalm chapter 69 and verse 30, it says this, I will praise the name of God with a song. And he says this, I will magnify him with thanksgiving. That word magnify, it tells us something. It's either meaning to make something appear greater than it is, as with a microscope or magnifying glass, or it can mean make something that may seem small look bigger as it really is. So when I'm looking through a microscope and I look through that lens and I'm looking on that slide and I'm looking at germs or whatever it may be and whatever is microscopic, it magnifies that little thing. Or when I'm looking at the moon or the stars through a telescope, I mean, those things are huge and it's given me a better perspective at their size. And so to rejoice, you're going to have to understand something. Quit looking through the circumstance and your microscope and pull out the telescope and look how big God really is. Because God's bigger than any circumstance. God's bigger than any problem. God's bigger than any pressure. And so it is where you're focused on. And so think about this. If what you are closest to is bigger, then get away from the circumstance and get in his presence. Get in his presence. John Popper says this. I love how he says this. Be a telescope for the world of the infinite starry wealth of the glory of God. The second thing you want to do is this. You want to rejoice, but you also want to relax. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5, we read this. Let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. I love the promises. I mean, we've talked about him a lot these last 6-7 weeks of he'll never leave us nor forsake us, that he'll be with us always, even the end of the age. The Bible tells us in Psalm 73 and verse 28, "But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works." But I first want to talk about that word reasonableness in Philippians 4 or 5, because it's one of those words, right? Reasonableness. We're like thinking, okay, what does that mean, that reasonableness? And in the Greek, what it's telling us is that we are going to yield our own rights to show consideration and gentleness to others. Think about that for a second. We are going to yield our rights for the benefit of others around us. And so the first thing, let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. The way you're going to impact the people around you is not through your own opinion. The way you're going to impact people that surround you is not your own opinion. The way you're going to impact people around you is through the gospel, the good news. It's the Bible. The Bible promises us that when that word goes out, it will not return void, but accomplish what it's sent out to do. Let your reasonableness be made known. And so whatever it is that we can do to impact those around us, if we've got to draw our opinion back, if we've got to lay our life down. I mean, the thing of the matter is this, right? I think it's something we forget. Dead men don't have rights. Dead men don't have rights. And our opinions and who we are should be completely shaped by the gospel, by the word of God. Let your reasonableness be made. But then it says this, the Lord is at hand. And I believe Paul is writing here, and I really believe he's talking about the coming of the Lord. I really believe that he's talking about the rapture of the church. I believe that. But that should be something of comfort to us. Let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. And the Lord, it's a declaration. And so when he's saying the Lord is at hand, it brings me peace knowing when it's all said and done that I can look at the eastern sky for the return of Jesus. Matter of fact, he promises in John chapter 14, let our hearts not be troubled. Let our hearts not be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you that I'll go prepare a place for you. But verse 3 says this, and if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself. It should be something of peace to know, you know what? I don't know what tomorrow holds. I do know that Jesus told me let tomorrow worry for itself. I got enough junk going on today, and so my focus needs to be on today, but even in the middle of today, my focus is going to be on him and the presence of the Lord. And regardless if things work out in my favor or however I want to shape that or word that, and what I'm telling you is we're not in persecution yet, but we sure may see it and may see it sooner than we think. But regardless of what happens tomorrow, I always have eternity to look to. And that doesn't strike fear into my heart. That brings me peace. That brings me peace. And I know, I believe the returning of the Lord could be any moment, any day, any time, any hour. But I don't know when, right? I'm not on the programming committee, but it is sure going to be my desire to be on the welcoming committee. You can write that down. You can tweet that if you want. Oh, that was a pretty good one. Number 3 is this. I'm going to rejoice, I'm going to relax, and I'm going to release. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Let tomorrow worry for itself. I mean, anxious and worry, we're talking about the same thing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let me tell you how to do it. The one thing that works every single time is to pray. Prayer is a pathway to peace. See, Philippians 4:4, right? Let's add this together. Rejoice. I say it again, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. That equals, do not be anxious about anything. Not anxious about anything. Imagine never worrying about anything. Now, you may know, I don't know if you know this about me or not, but I am a worrier. I deal with it, man. And I think my mom's watching, and I think I get it from my mom. My mom's tends to be a worrier, worrying about her kids. And I am a worrier. Everyone has worries about job, home, school, paycheck. But Paul's advice is to turn your worries into prayer. And so my energy, my strength can either be sucked up and drained because of worried, or I can find strength because of prayer. Everyone is dealing with pressures. Everyone is dealing with problems. Everyone is dealing with hurt. Everyone is dealing with people. But I'm going to tell you, listen to me very carefully. When the worry hits, pray. When the anxiety hits, pray. When the pressures hit, pray. When the hurt happens, pray. When the unknown is unknown, then pray. When the fear tempts, then pray. When the past beckons, then pray. When the memories surface, then pray. When the confusion clouds, then pray. When the trial extends, then pray. When the month outlasts the paycheck, then pray. When the night is dark, then pray. When the struggle is real, then pray. When the diagnosis is given, then pray. Pray about everything. We spend too much time calling everybody, telling everybody about our problems, and too little time going to God, into His presence, and praying. Go to God in prayer. Go to God in prayer. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving and rejoicing, make your request made known to God. The Bible also tells us this, a very simple verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, pray without ceasing. And the fourth thing is this. The fourth thing is rest. So we're going to rejoice, we're going to relax, we're going to release, and we're going to rest. In verse 7 of Philippians, this is where it kind of, you're like, where's the peace come in? This is where the peace comes in. This is where the promise is in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What a promise. And I know even in the season, I've referred to this scripture so much, but you really need to know that God is in control. You really need to know that God loves you and that God wants what is best for you. And in that, we can know that peace that only God can give. This peace is so much different than what the world gives. Remember, I mean, we just read in John chapter 14 that He has a peace for us that only He can bring us. And I think the worship team is coming up, and they're going to close in a song in just a few moments. But I want once again, I know so many of you heard me say this over and over and over, and I'm going to say it again this morning about this peace. I just want to break it down to you very simply. And the peace of God, what surpasses all understanding. Some translations say surpasses, some say transcends. And so here's the way you have to see this and think of this. Whenever I'm focused on the worry, whenever I'm focused on the anxiety, I mean, if I look at the situation, even, I mean, if they're cold facts, I mean, when I'm looking at what's around me, and if my eyes are focused on that, and then I'm going to be in an upheaval. I'm going to be in a battle. I mean, things are going to be messed up in my heart and my mind. And that peace that surpasses all understanding is this. This is my vernacular, but that God can give you a peace even when it makes no sense. God can give you a peace when it makes absolutely no sense. There may be some that are around you. I mean, they'll see you and they're like, "How can you be at peace right now? How can you be okay right now?" You know why? Because of the peace that surpasses all understanding. And when we receive that peace that surpasses all understanding, look what it does. It guards our hearts and our minds. Because what happens when we're focused and zeroed in on the pressure, problems, and people? It's that, man, maybe our blood pressure goes up. Maybe our heart starts to race. Maybe we get nauseous. Maybe we can't sleep. Maybe we start acting out in ways that really we're like, that's not even me. That's not even who I am. And we start making mistakes. Maybe we start treating people not with reasonable. I mean, whatever that looks like. But see, the thing is this, when he protects our hearts and our minds, that means those runaway thought patterns come under control. That means that that blood pressure can come down. That means that racing heart can be stilled. That means that you can sleep at night again. The peace that surpasses all understanding will guard you. It'll guard your heart, and it'll guard what you think. It'll keep your mind from running away, and you'll be able to keep your mind on the promises of God and your heart, your desires on the presence of God. And it's all found in Jesus. And see, that brings us back to where I started in John chapter 15, in him. See, if you want to have peace, I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to, you know, nobody can wave a wand and you have it, and it's only found, and people can pray for you to get peace, and that's a good thing, and that's okay, but I'm going to tell you something. The only way you're ever going to know that fruit of the Spirit of peace is through being in him. Abide in him. Apart from him, we can do nothing. But in him, we will bear much fruit. It is found in him. And right here we see in Philippians 4:7, it is found in Jesus. And let me give you just one more. I love this, and I have to share this. Just one more kind of word picture about this. Remember, Paul's in prison. And he's writing to the Philippians, that was known as a Roman garrison city. And so Paul was being very intentional in what he was writing. And he was saying this, the way that the Roman army surrounds and protects Philippi, so the peace of God protects you as a believer. I mean, think about that. I mean, God is setting up the barricade. God has set. I mean, the scripture also tells us that when the enemy comes in like the flood, what does God do? He raises the standard. I remind of an Old Testament story where Elijah, one of them, I can't remember which one it was now, but they were surrounded by the army, right? And he had a servant with him. I believe it was Elijah. And he had and all the servant saw was this enemy army coming in after him. But Elijah prayed and he said, Lord, open the eyes of the servant. And when the servant opened the eyes, you know what he saw? He saw the army of the Lord encamping and surrounding the physical army. I'm going to tell you, you can have a peace that will guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. I want to close with this. I've said it several times. I want to say it again. Peace is not the absence of difficulties. Peace is the presence of God. Our inner attitudes, listen, our inner attitudes do not have to reflect the outward circumstance. Why? Because the peace of God guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Can I remind you of the scripture in John that I started with? Peace I leave you. My peace I give you, not as the world gives. Let your hearts not be troubled. Would you receive that promise this morning?
I hope and pray that this message ministered to you today. Remember, if you would like to see what's going on or want more information about us, just go to OdessaFirstAssembly.com. And of course, you can find us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. God bless you.